Happy Friday, everyone. What is up? Welcome back to Local Roots. Thank you guys for joining in. I'm just recording a tiny little explainer here at the top. We had such a fun time recording with our new buddy Edwin at City Built Brewing this week. It was so much fun. I just wanted to give a quick heads up that I had to, I guess the audio nerd term would be like over-compress some of the vocals and use like a gate, it's called, to cut out some of the background because we were at the bar recording. There's like some hums of fans and, you know, music playing, but it's fixed and it sounds like a bunch of sexy robots. You're gonna love it. So I'm really excited. We had a great talk. Edwin's such a nice guy and he has such a cool story about, you know, how he started building this amazing brewery called City Built. If you haven't been there, gotta check it out. They have a brand new beer being released tomorrow. If you are listening to this on Friday, make sure you listen all the way through to hear about how cool, there's a cool story behind it too. That being said, I will get right into this, but I wanted to say one more thank you to everyone buying our new merch. It is so nice of you guys. I cannot believe it. If you haven't seen the new stuff, you can go to localroots.us. What we did is we made some podcast merch and some of the designs we were inspired by, you know, we want to ride local, right? So we took some of the designs of the trail pattern from Strava, and then we traced that in Photoshop to create these graphics based on the trails that we ride every day. We thought it might be cool, so we threw it on a couple of t-shirts, a couple of hoodies. There's a lot to choose from. We got a little carried away, I'm not going to lie. But yeah, go check it out. And for just you guys listening, we're not going to post this on Instagram or anything. Just for the true fans, we're going to give a discount on this merch because we're excited to get it out. It's really cool. So just the true fans, we're going to offer a discount. And it's going to be True Fans 10 for 10% off. Yeah, we're excited to release it to the world. And then everyone who already ordered, just bless your heart, because we barely promoted it. We already are getting these orders coming in and we're so excited. So enough with the boring stuff. You know the usual promo codes. They're all linked down. Blender's Eyewear, Carbo Rocket makes you go fast. enough of this. You guys got to hear from Edwin. You got to hear from Brian. You got to get into this episode. Do it.
Hello and welcome to Local Roots Podcast. I'm Brian.
All right, I'm Larry. I'm excited for this one. We got a fun one.
Me too. We've got a new guest, and his name is...
Wait. We always have a new guest, right?
We've had repeat guests. We've had Evan a couple times.
Okay. You know what? I'm sorry.
We've only had one guest repeated times. Okay.
My goal is to be a repeat guest.
All right. Well, all right. With this beer, I think it's going to happen.
Staple. I love it.
I hope... We got to sell them on us now.
Okay, yeah.
I want to come back.
We should intro. We got Edwin here from City Built Brewing. Right downtown Grand Rapids. What would you call this like neighborhood?
Is North it? Monroe.
North Monroe. Perfect.
Yes, the Monroe North Business Association.
All right.
So it's awfully specific. Okay. Right across the river.
Yeah, it's like by the river area. Like whenever you think downtown, like, I don't know, we're always like at like the boring, like usual spots of like, I don't know, like New Holland Strip. What would you call that? Where there's like the
Bridge
Anchor
Street?
Bar. Yeah, Bridge Street.
So I don't know if I call like Anchor boring.
The Anchor's pretty dope.
The Anchor's pretty rad.
Like, I feel like that's like what I think of when bar. I think of downtown, because we always end up here. But I love this area. This is so cool.
This area is very awesome.
You look out, you see the water and everything. It's awesome. It's great.
This is a really cool stretch to ride your bike to.
It's a good neighborhood. That bike trail actually connects Old Kent and White Pine.
Really? Okay, awesome. Interesting. I've ridden White Pine from, I don't know, your house, Larry, in Rockford, to here, to Founders, to Vivant, to... We actually did during the shutdown era, we did a bike takeout brew tour, which was pretty cool. And this was by far our favorite stop.
Right on.
We had cans and we were able to drink them. I don't know if it was legal at the time. If it wasn't, hush, hush, but... It was a beautiful day. We drank right out there on the river.
Yeah. Everybody drank them out there.
Yeah. It was pretty nice.
Like, well, if you get the 16 ounce cans, it's like, oh, it's just like an energy drink or something.
Yeah. What are you talking about? So yeah, not beer, officer.
Yeah.
That was fun.
What did we get that time? It was
a super sour.
What month?
Ooh, Alice's birthday, so I want to say May.
May.
So
I think it was a Goza, but it was really low ABV.
It was Happy Friendsgiving.
That was what it was. It's exactly what it was. Yes. It was
good are you with your menu? Can you do that? Like, if we just give you a month, can you give us like the hottest beer of the time? Or
depend. You're pretty specific. As soon as you said sour,
okay, we
only make so many of those, and I know what we had then. It's pretty polarizing time, and
yeah, that was like I guess the
apex. Yeah, of like the first beginning of the shutdown.
That was the apex of the shutdown when we came here.
And we had just so much, like, we'd switched from all kegs pretty much and distribution to then like everything has to be canned.
Oh sure.
And because we called it Happy Friendsgiving, that beer is actually made in October. And so like the name sucked, and as soon as it wasn't Thanksgiving, everyone's like, yeah, that's old beer. I don't want that beer. I think when you guys bought it, we had made it like $10 or $12, like
maybe
cheap.
That's why we got it.
It was on sale. But like, if we make it again, if we're going to make it again, we're going to call it Ocean Spray, spelled differently, because it tasted like cranberry Ocean Spray. Yeah, totally.
Oh, I get it. Yeah. I remember trying it. I had both of them in a bag, like on my drop bar road bike, and I'm trying to cross the street, and I was like, oh shit, tipping over.
Yes. We made it. So let's back this up a little bit. First of all, Timmy, right? We got to give a shout out to Timmy Thompson. Reached out on Instagram and says, hey, my buddy Edwin, he has this brewery. It's called City Built, and you guys got to have him on. I was like, City Built, we know that. We love that place. So I was like, that's awesome. So big shout out to Timmy. And then it was funny. It took us just like, we joke on the podcast a lot about how bad I am at just trying to set up guests and stuff. And just like, this was no exception. I just like, we'd finally get it set and I'd be like, oh, sorry, actually, I can't do it that way. And then Brian's like, no, I can't do it. Edwin was out of town for a week, but we did it.
We're here.
And
at the expense.
The funniest, like, the funniest cherry on top is like, we're finally here. And then it took us, 20 minutes to get Brian's mic stand.
Well, the Amazon mic stand that I can't complain about because Larry purchased it is great and awesome, but it doesn't work for shit. So
three ideas later. So Nailed it.
I'll post a picture or something, but we literally have like a bar stool. Yeah, bar stool chair pulled up to the table because we couldn't fit it on the
tried
table.
Tried a serving stand, tried a bunch. I tried to hold it.
All right.
Anyway.
So all of that to be said, and I want to get into, you know, interviewing Edwin here a little bit, but one last thing before we get started, just a little housework, is a big thank you to everyone. Buy our new merch.
Hey, thank you guys.
Yes, I'm like ecstatic. We keep getting orders and I'm like,
awesome. I cannot believe it.
I went into this with like no confidence. I was just like, podcasts have like shirts and stuff, right? And then like,
you didn't have any confidence.
You kept bringing it up, and I was like, Brian, it's just no one's gonna buy it. Like, why would we do that?
I thought people were gonna buy it.
Yeah, so
because I wanted some.
Is your T-shirt? Is that it?
No, this is actually the nerdiest shirt I own. It's from like a different podcast.
Okay,
so we don't even have to talk about that. But,
fair enough.
Yeah, I don't know. I just wanted to say thank you because I'm so surprised and excited. So.
And if you haven't seen it, Larry killed it with these designs. He made them with, there's like a general like LRP stuff you can buy, but the really cool ones, they have the they have trail maps of Merrill, Luton, CSGA, and Canonsburg.
Right. So I just basically screenshotted my Strava rides and like,
that's what I was wondering them. That was your Strava.
Yeah. So then I just retraced them in Photoshop and changed the color and stuff, and it's a cool idea. So,
all right. So
that's all.
Without further ado, let's dive in dive into Edwin. That sounds a little weird.
That's extra.
He's like, yeah, we didn't pay the guest fee.
Edwin, tell us a little bit about yourself. tell sure. us what do you do as to start? What do you do for City Built?
So co-founder and CEO or president. I'm not like I'm still trying to understand.
Why not both?
You could be both. You could be the CEO president.
So I used to be a financial advisor, and like everyone just wanted all the letters behind their name. Oh, you sure. wanted so like yes, I am the president, the CEO, and chief dreamer of City Built Brewing Company.
Perfect.
But basically, I just kind of support all of the leaders, and so we have three areas: our kitchen, okay. tap room, and brewery. And so okay. then we have two leaders in each area, and so and my job is to make sure they have what they need to okay. do their jobs. And so I feel like I'm the grout, and so like right. we have all the right pieces, they're all in the right places. Yeah. And so I just am making sure they kind of, yeah, exactly. And so
you're the gum, the glue,
I'm the mouth of City Built.
Okay.
So, right. yeah. So I've always been, I mean, I'm the person who I raised all the money for City Built.
Okay.
I continue to advocate for City Built, whether it's with, like we're on the cover of Review Magazine this month.
Nice.
Which is
exciting.
Actually really cool. Cause it's the beer issue. And so there's a little bit of,
that's super cool.
Like, affirmation. You know, sure. that we're in the issue. And I think it's really interesting that like they painted us as new school. So it's a new school, City Built Brewing Company. And then the next article is old school.
Oh, cool.
And it's founders, which so first of all, respect, but also like yeah. sweet.
Wouldn't no, you that rather is... be on the future side than the past side? I think.
Yeah. yeah. No, yes. yes. Absolutely.
I think it's bigger than what they intended.
Sure.
Yeah. Even new school wise, I feel like you had a lot of competition. So kudos to you guys for getting that spot.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, we're thankful and we have really good people around us that advocate for us awesome. When I can't do it. And so, but yeah, that's pretty much my role has been not on purpose being the spokesperson for City Built.
Yeah, right? for sure. Was City Built your like brainchild? Like, did you start this?
Not at all.
Okay.
So my partner, Dave.
Okay.
So we talked about a little bit earlier, but. Mm-hmm. City Built was Dave's brainchild and another guy named Tyler, who's actually an owner as well.
Okay.
That was their plan. Tyler decided to move. He went to DC. And with that, Dave needed kind of the business end because Dave was really just the brewer.
Okay.
And so I was looking for something different. So I was an advisor at Northwestern Mutual okay. and I hated it. and so, well, like I was good at it.
Yeah.
But sure. every time I met someone, it was like, so does this person look insurable? They look healthy. And so
do they drive a minivan?
Yeah, right. Like, I exactly. gotta
say, I know I don't.
yeah, but you exercise. You so like that helps.
Yeah.
You get points.
Yeah. Right. All right, guys, real quick. I've ran for the first time in a year, 2 days Strava. In a row. I'm only doing a mile at a time, but both today and yesterday. So yes, yeah. thank you. Yeah. I would like one cookie, clap, please. Clap. clap. Sorry, back
home. No, that's right. I don't even know what we're talking about.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. So, so City Built was Dave's idea.
Okay.
And so I was looking for something different at the time. I was actually trying to buy a different company mm-hmm. and, I learned a couple things. I raised some money to buy that company and learned it wasn't a great idea.
What kind of industry was it? Maybe
It was Workhorse Irons. So a friend of mine, BJ Johnson, who owns Green Lion Studios. He's a tattoo artist.
Okay.
He's also a metallurgist. So like he makes pens, he makes stuff out of metal.
That's cool.
He's actually really, really talented. And I okay. think it's interesting when an artist can put being an artist and making money together.
Isn't that the bridge, right?
Yeah.
Like that's all artists want to do.
Yeah, like, absolutely. And so, and he's done it, I think. And so, but I met him through the process of trying to buy that business. And it's funny because he's doing a label for us.
Oh, nice.
And I've been bugging him to do art for me since 2014.
Wow.
And so okay. finally he's like, yeah.
Is there a special beer in mind with it?
No, I said I want a generic label that I can keep using.
Keep using.
Yeah. And nice. So, but I love his art and it kind of fits in with the other art that we have happening on our cans. And so, but so Workhorse Irons, they sure. make tattoo equipment.
Oh,
so
really?
The tattoo rig.
Yeah.
And then they make ink and needles. Yeah.
Okay.
And so,
that's local?
Yeah. Dude, and it's like a $4 million a year company. Like it's like
that's awesome.
A legit company yeah. in an interesting genre of business. But so through that, I told Dave, hey, I can raise money. I've been asking people for a check every day for 7 years or 5 years. And so, so that's what I did. So,
And then how long ago was that?
So end of 2013.
Okay.
2014, we basically started like with the money that we needed to have the brewery that they had planned.
Okay.
And then when I got involved, like I had been studying brewing culture. I'm part of a beer group in California.
So you always liked beer before this?
I was brewing. I was home brewing.
Okay.
So like I've been home brewing for like 12, 13 years.
Okay. And are you another one of those home brewers who it makes like actual good beer?
I would argue, yeah.
Okay,
right.
Of
course, Ryan. Yes. Yeah, I would argue, yeah. But
someone's got to teach my poor dad how to make beer.
Oh man. All right. I had lots of those too, though. Like you would just be like, it's 6%. Like you just drink it because it's 6%.
That's the marketing for the beers, the alcohol content, not what's in it. Dude, this one, 6%.
6%.
For a long time, there were breweries that got away with that.
I mean, do you guys remember Bud Light Platinum?
That's what I just
wrote. The whole plan was just like,
that was it.
It's a 6% Bud Light.
And we're like, holy shit.
Go ahead. Fuck everything up. Go to town.
Oh, man.
Not to tangent again, but did you just send me something on Instagram that was new Bud Light
Platinum Seltzies? I think they're 8%.
Seltzer?
Yeah, but Platinum Seltzer.
With the Platinum branding, so they're bringing it back.
Bringing it because it worked so well the first time.
It did. As long as it
I bet they made a decent amount just from
they
us.
They made enough from us. As long as it doesn't come in blue glass bottles, I will be happy. Real quick story. We, for some reason, I don't know, whenever you drink a Bud Light Platinum, you got rowdy and that bottle had to leave your hand as fast as possible into the nearest parking lot at like the fastest velocity you could possibly make it go.
It was about a month of like when they came out and
every college parking lot, well, every CMU parking lot had like a blue sparkle to it.
Yeah.
And it was those,
we were like,
go chips.
We were the perfect market for this fire thing up. Because we all would get that every weekend for like a good month or two. And it was just, it turned into breaking glass on the parking lot.
Terrible. And it was awful beer, but for some reason, it may not have even made us like rowdy. We just thought it did because we were like 6%.
You were just bored.
Tuned. We were just,
turns out you're just bored.
We were just bad people. We were just bad guys.
But at the end of this, I had a beautiful,
the Cutlass
dented,
Supreme.
Rusted, white Cutlass Supreme.
Yes.
96. It was a Cutlass Supreme SL. We had a 3.2 liter V6, pumped out about
the SL is for super lame.
37 horsepower. I don't know, 0 to 16 tomorrow. And I loved it. And my buddy went to throw a glass bottle at somebody because he's an asshole. And he, I don't know, tripped. And I watched this bottle going through the parking lot and it's flying in the air. I'm like, there's no way that's going to hit my car. Like, there's no way. There's 8 million cars here. There's no way. And sure enough, it right through the back window, like, boom, explodes in
with blue glass.
Blue glass. No, did the bottle survive? Yeah. Just my back windshield just exploded. And in hindsight, it's actually a really, really good thing that it was my car and not like somebody else's car.
Yeah. Because at least him, he could just like pay you for like under the table. Someone else could have probably called the cops or something.
We drove to Ithaca to a junkyard. He bought me a new back window for like $50 and we're in like snowboard gear. Goggles on, face covered because glass was like swirling through the car.
On the way there.
It was in the middle of winter and it was awful. Anyways, enough of Bud Light Platinum.
Yeah, sure. I think we just, what statute of limitations? Are we in trouble? Do we do anything? Do we just admit to a crime?
No, I think that was at least 10 years ago.
Okay, good. All right, back to the story.
Yeah.
So let's get back to like when you first like opened the doors. Is this the only building you guys have ever been in?
So this is our first location. This is the OG.
When did it open?
City built. May of 2017.
Oh. Okay.
And
so it started in 13. It took 5 years to evolve, or?
So Dave had been trying to open a brewery since like 2007. And so he endured a couple things. Mm-hmm. Like we had a market fall apart. We had, right. So he went through a few different partners before he got to me. And so, 2014, we raised $250,000 like in a month.
Okay.
And then we realized like that was a good idea before, but now the brewing scene has changed. We can't be a small two barrel hole in the wall, no food brewery. We need to think bigger.
Okay.
And so we decided to do like this. It's called a B share, which is like a bond So we sold B shares for Citibel.
So what does that mean?
So essentially we have a, so you can either buy a share and it's worth equity and so you're an owner, mm-hmm. or you can buy a share and it's, you're basically loaning money and it's a bond.
Okay.
And so we raised $400,000 and it took me a year.
Whoa. Okay.
And so it took me until.
Was there a goal of like how much you needed to get there? Like roughly?
The goal was like, so the goal is 400. I had to be within a certain percentage of that.
Okay.
Otherwise, I had to give all the money back.
Wow.
Ooh.
And so we had the first amount of money, and it took us until November of 2014 to really be like, all right, like we have money. We have this idea. We want to move forward. What's that mean? And so we worked with a company that helped us kind of put it all together.
Okay.
They're a consultant. Yep.
Yeah. Okay.
It sucked. But that said, it was still part of our history, and there were things within that that I would say were good.
Sure, learning experience.
Yeah, but it was an expensive.
Expensive.
It was an expensive, not what they sold us thing.
Sure. I've worked for, you know, an agency, not a business consulting, but for marketing, and I've worked with a lot of them, and I'm sure it's a very similar playing field of just like, they're really good at selling you in the door, and they paint this vision, and then, you know, 3 weeks you're like, let me see that contract again. Right.
Something's not right.
Yeah,
it's 100%. Yeah, absolutely. Okay. So well, like everyone learned how to open a brewery on City Build's job, like everybody, right?
Okay,
bar none, like every person involved, I feel like, including us.
Sure. Okay.
And so but whatever. So
it still brought you there, right?
Yeah. Right.
Did you ever think at one point that you guys weren't going to make it?
Yes.
Really?
A bunch of times.
Oh no.
Well, there was a moment. So in 2014 was kind of like, hey, like this is going to be a thing. Yeah. This is going to be a thing. This is going to be our idea.
Yeah.
We worked with this company. And so then we signed a lease on this space in November of 2015. And then we incorporated then.
Wow.
And so then. In that time, 2014 October to 2015, that's how long it took me to raise $400,000.
Okay.
And so that's when once we raised it, we knew we had it. Like we incorporated, we signed a lease, and then it was like go. And we had roughly $700,000 to work with.
Okay.
Plus we had some money from our landlord and TI improvement, and then we had some bank money.
Wow.
And so essentially we had just over $1 million. And so, long story long.
I think this is
we had a really not good experience with our builder. Legally, I can't talk about it. Only to say,
but it sucks shit.
Yeah, only to say that what should have been done in September of 2016 didn't get done until 2017 in May.
Okay.
And we actually sat idle with no work being done for 5 months.
So you say builder, was this area just like renovated?
Yeah, well,
so we were renovated. Yeah. It was like, I mean, it was like this close for 6 months. We're just right there.
Yeah, you're just like,
well,
yeah, it's got electrical. We're good, guys.
We're just waiting on this one thing. So, well, here's the thing. Like, and then we've got open. And I do the quote sign because like we were open and making money, which is great because it stopped the bleeding of not being open.
Yeah.
But we didn't even have occupancy. So we didn't have legal occupancy for a year and a half after we opened.
So how are you making money then?
We sold beer and sold food. But like it was like,
you were distributing?
I see you, you see me, right? Like,
okay.
I see that you're illegal is what the city was doing. And I was like, yeah, I see you. You didn't help us at all through the whole freaking thing. And so like, what do you want me to do?
Okay. Yeah.
And so they were very, actually,
I see you seeing me.
Ultimately, they were very gracious in not being like, yeah, you, because they were dicks through the whole thing. And then on that, because they realized it wasn't the city, but they realized what our experience was.
Okay.
With our construction, and they're like, okay, you've been through it.
Wow.
And so we'll give you time to fix it. And so after construction, we had, I mean, in order to get done, there was a moment in August of 2016, where they're like, we don't have enough money.
Wow.
And so we had to sell shares that we didn't intend to sell.
Gosh.
And in that we actually met some
additional shares or like,
so like we were supposed, I was supposed to own 40%. I don't own 40%. Like, no. I own way less. Oh, and so, the people that we sold it to ended up being really, really good partners for us.
Great.
Without undermining the partners before that, they've been really good only because they've been willing to pour it. Like, there's just things I don't know. You know, like, I'm really good at talking to people.
Okay, here we are.
And I
and new, I'm a recurring podcast guest.
Yeah. And I'm really good. Really good. I'm really good at beer,
which we'll talk about shortly.
I'm really good at the idea of marketing beer and selling beer, and really good at making friends. But like the business side is really new. Mm. And so I was talking to our accountant yesterday and I was like, your job's to make me look good. And I was like, do you see it? Like, am I fucking up? Can you help me out? Because am I? Like, cause I want to be good at this. Mm. Like, this is my thing. I traded it's
a
everything.
Great quality to have, by the way. A lot of people might just be like blind to it and be like, yeah, I got this.
I don't. Like, I promise you, I don't.
Having an open mind like that. Like, is just
no, yeah.
Kudos.
It seems kind of like a no brainer. People are like, hey, you know, let me know when I'm fucking up. But so many people, you know, you just said, don't do that.
Right.
And it sucks for them.
Yeah. There's some business acumen that I've picked up because of these guys. And the best part was the only reason I met them was they were trying to take my general manager, who's still here.
Okay.
So every leader at City Built has been here since the beginning.
That's great.
That's awesome. And so your name is kind of like City Built, as in like kind of people from the city built.
Yeah. From the bottom up, right?
Which is awesome.
Is that the origin then? Similarly?
Yeah. Sorry to cut you off there. But.
No. The idea was to definitely be like, how's the city work? Mm. Best cities work because they're inclusive. Best cities work because there's a diverse group of people, right? Like, the more diverse it is, the more talent you get from different, you know, walks of life. Yeah. Right. And so that was the thought, was that
great. You would,
and so, and the fact that I'm a Puerto Rican dude trying to sling beer in Puerto Rican ish. Actually, we just called it Sorta Rican. So Sorta Rican beer, like food, in a town that doesn't necessarily always recognize or maybe marginalizes sometimes people of color. Like, that was a, so.
I would say City Built was never abundance of whiteness around here, maybe too much.
Yeah.
So, like, so you asked about, like, was City Built my goal? Well, no. I wanted a place where I could affect really good, positive culture. So, where can I have a place where I can love on people, but then that, like, that would carry into other areas of, like, our existence or our, like, my circle of, or my scope of, like, reach.
Okay.
And I think when people come here, they feel it. Like, they feel like the people who work here, I think, are happy. Not because I think so, but because they tell me. Because other people come in, they're like, man, your staff seems so happy. You know, what are you doing? And I'm like,
I'm a normal, treating them like
human beings and, you know, making sure they're happy.
It's crazy. Like, there's no life hack. It's just be a good person.
Don't be a dick to your staff. I don't get it.
Yeah, exactly. It's just
and also admit your faults. Hey, tell me when I'm fucking up. I think that's kind of it.
Yeah.
Well, we just want to be good. And I would characterize like the people who are in charge of stuff here as people who are like reaching to be good, reaching to be excellent.
Okay.
And you see it play out. And when someone is here and they don't fit that, like, they don't last very long. And it's not because I call it out. Like, the people around them are
staff,
like, dude, you can't be here and behave like that.
Which
is great. Like, we had one guy sealing steaks. He worked one night.
Jeez.
I didn't fire him.
Were they raw or cooked steaks he's dealing?
No, he made them and he undercooked them and then said they were mistakes.
Of course.
There's a lot of those.
Unfortunately.
And then he came back and he's like, I get a discount, right?
Oh, God. No.
The answer is no.
I totally understand what you're saying when you're like, you know, your staff. I think you did well when your own staff is calling staff out to like be better. I run a small autism center, and we're really small, tight knit, and we've had staff come and go. And you know, when someone's good, like they're not tattling on another staff. It's they're trying to get them to be better so that like their workplace is better. And when those people don't do better, those are the people that don't last. So I think you see that kind of across the board. I don't know if you dealt with that, Larry.
No, it's just like you guys are hitting on the head, and it's the fact that it's so basic. And I want to just go back to that of like any cohesive work environment literally comes down to just like culture. It really does.
Absolutely.
I just attended this, like it was virtual this year, but it's called HubSpot Inbound. It's like a marketing convention, but it was online this year. So they just said like the number one reason for like businesses failing, especially in like all this COVID and stuff, is just like a lack of company culture. And you're going to see like all these like old school brands, these like staples of our, like, I might even look at like something like GM, like we only, cause we have insight from like our buddies there. Just
yeah.
Like,
yeah.
They don't have like these new modern philosophies of like flexibility and
not at all,
you know, like transparency from like the top to bottom. And it's just, it's a shame, but it's for the better. Like those places, if you can't adapt, you don't really deserve to be part of it. You know, I don't know.
Yeah.
Totally off subject.
Anyways.
But, I don't know. It's, if anyone's listening and you're still doing things the old school way, it's like, it's people first. And that's all it is.
Yeah. I think kind of a, yeah, call to action here.
There you go.
Just don't be a dick to your staff. Yeah. Just, no, just be a, I mean, just
be a human.
Be a human, yeah, and admit when you fucked up. And love I it. Think that's kind of it.
Yes.
And being a human, there's a whole lot of things in there. But
there's have you seen all the things in humans nowadays?
But you know, but when
there's bones, there's like this red shit. It's gross.
I know. But Larry, you and I had talked about this before. Yeah. It's like, you know, be friendly. Don't be racist. Don't be sexist. Promote like a, you know, equal, you know, place
Ryan's
to work,
running
positivity.
For president, by the way.
But it just doesn't seem that hard. I don't know. It just seems like a no fucking, no brainer.
Yeah. Yeah, well,
yeah, obviously, I feel like we all have some feelings towards all this. So
I mean, I think we both are fresh off that debate last night. It's just like, it's hard not to feel like the world is just crumbling around.
Yeah,
us,
I'm waiting to get nuked.
I watched it. My favorite part of the debate was that both my kids sat with me for like 20 minutes. Like
everyone was interested.
Yeah, he was hanging out.
It's and then, yeah, you're just like,
and both of them are like, oh man, that guy sucks. and then he would argue they both suck because he's a libertarian.
Okay.
and can argue why, which that was a
that's
discussion
awesome.
We had like 2 weeks ago. But anyway, and so like my favorite part of the debate was
that's
that
awesome.
Both my kids like just sat with me for like 20 minutes.
Yeah.
Like not the whole debate, but for 20 minutes they sat there, talked a little crap, which is great. And then they're like, yeah, I'm out. I'm going to bed. So, yeah. That was
entertaining good. Enough for that.
You know, the good old wholesome family values of
yeah.
watching two
or the future
gigantically old people.
Super old potential leaders of our
that's
country
not true.
Tell each other.
That's not true.
Shut up,
that's
man.
That's not true. It's just like the whole thing.
That's, oh, God.
That's not true. That's not true.
Yeah, shut I don't want to talk about that. Anyways.
Yeah. All right.
I will say this. It doesn't matter who's in charge. My fight locally is the same.
Okay.
Sure. And isn't that so much more important probably? Like
so yeah, like my opportunity in Grand Rapids is to be really good at what we do, which is serve good food and good beer in a nice place with good service and get the attention of, right? And then we just aren't big enough and don't make enough money where way up here. Mm-hmm. Is there might be a point in time where I'm like, you know what, I need for
you need
X.
That big business
I need
law.
For an X to be in office because I'll make more money, but I promise you that it's way more short term than that for us.
Okay.
At least
okay.
Right now.
That kind of leads into what I was going to ask next. Excuse me, his beers are getting my little burp action. I apologize.
Little burp action.
So the last brewery we interviewed was Arvon. We were talking about that a little.
Yeah.
And it's just amazing how opposite like the comeuppance were, we'll call it. So just like when you look at like a brewery like Arvon, they were like let's start as small as we can, literally in a garage. And like, we just made enough to now afford a little bit bigger of a building. And then they're going to do that and keep doing that. And then just like, they never really want to grow too big. Whereas this, and then of course, I'm not saying either of these are right or wrong, but it's just like very interesting to me. And were you guys, you just like, you put in, you front loaded all of this
everything.
Work. You front loaded everything just to get to like that, like,
to here.
No, obviously no one can see what I'm looking at unless you've been here.
We do this like, a lot. Do you see what we're seeing?
You can actually see this space if you go to our website.
There you go.
There we go.
Citybuiltbrewing.com.
Yes.
You can take a virtual tour and see where we're sitting right now.
Wait, that's awesome. Okay. Yeah. There you go.
Cool.
Yeah. Thanks to Steve and Tibby.
All right.
All right.
Love it. All that to say is just like, I wonder how many other ways there are. First,
for a brewery to start.
Sure. Yeah. But second of all, is this like the end game of like just like sustaining this place? Do you want to like distribute like crazy? Do you want to be the next?
Yeah, I wanted to ask about distribution.
Right. So maybe touch on that as well as as far as growth. Like for instance, Arvon like said, yeah, maybe just like a little bit bigger, but like this is what we like want to do. You know, we don't want like a bunch of locations. We just want to be really good here. Is that a similar mentality, or are you just like, hey, let's take over the world?
I think there's an opportunity for us to grow by 4x by 4. And so like in the next year or two.
Really?
And so, however,
now expanding,
that
this
was
spot,
my thought
moving
January, maybe not March.
Okay, sure.
Right.
Okay.
And so now I think if you talk to every brewer is like, you got to figure out how to sell all your beer in your tap room.
Okay. Like,
for you to grow for the intent or with the idea that you're going to go into distribution is a silly thought.
Okay.
Is what, because a capital expense with the maybe return of being able to get into distribution. So a year ago we distributed about 50% of everything we brewed.
Interesting. What does that mean? You just, and like, so do we, you brew, we brewed extra for that, or just,
no, we have outside? We have capacity for about 1,000 barrels.
Wow.
1,100 barrels. And we brewed about 600 to 700 barrels, and about half of that would like go outside.
How far would you distribute?
So we have a distributor, M4, out of Detroit.
Okay.
Or actually out of Ann Arbor, but the 7 counties, or I don't know how many counties they have of ours. But
okay.
So, and you sign with a distributor based on county.
Okay.
Actually based on area code, like you can name a address, but they have a bunch of counties on the east side of the state.
Okay.
Including Lansing. And then we don't have a distributor in Kent County or west side of the state.
Crazy.
And so we can self-distribute ourselves.
Oh, sure.
And so I was not very well, but I was distributing our beer. And even now, like, people ask for beer, I was like, yeah, I might come Thursday.
I don't know.
Like, so the ones who we do take beer to at this point, they've been buying beer from us and supporting us for a long time.
Okay. I see your stuff at Riverside a lot. Riverside Liquors.
Yeah. Yes. And Roger, he's awesome. And
yeah.
So they're very supportive. And so, but in January, you kind of made a change. Rob Qualls, our brewer, came back. He had spent 7 months at Bell's and then came back to City.
Learning their witchy ways.
Yeah. And then infiltrating the enemy. Yeah. Yeah.
He that was totally good.
He took all the secrets of a almost million barrel brew house and applied them to our 1,000 barrel beer.
Yes.
Like the scale doesn't meet, like doesn't match.
Sure.
Like I imagine there's some things that he brought for sure, like standard operating procedures and things like that. But outside of that, like it's just like apples and oranges.
Yeah,
Bell's and City Built. But that said, he came back. Our beer program changed. We were very, very intentional about changing what we were doing, which was kind of this quaffable tea-like beer.
Yeah.
Is what we were doing.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, dude, 60% of the market drinks IPA.
Yeah.
A larger percentage of that percent, like they drink New England IPAs.
Yep.
Why aren't we doing that? Why aren't we more release based? We make really good food. I want to be proud of my beer. So we need to change what we're brewing.
Okay.
So in January, we changed a lot. And so it's interesting to know, like, we brewed beer in April that we're releasing this Saturday.
Wow. Holy cow.
And I remember arguing with my staff. They're like, that's not going to help us. And I'm like, It's going to get put away. It's a huge freaking stout. And it's a 15.25%.
Oh, is this the one that's coming out Saturday we were talking about?
Yeah. So that's a 13 hours. So, but like everything changed. And so now we don't distribute 50% of our beer. We distribute zero.
Mm. Okay.
And so if we distribute beer, it's only because we're just trying to like wave our flag. Somewhere not in our town.
It makes sense, right? You gotta, it's just as important for getting the name out as it is for like selling, right?
Correct.
Like it's saying City Built something that you can get in the same place you can get an all-day IPA, right? Like, so that's gotta be part of the mentality, isn't it? Just like making sure that you're on the same shelf as the competitors. Is that challenging?
Yay and nay. So like that's my goal is not to be in distribution.
Yeah.
At this point, my goal is to sell all of our beer here. Okay. How can we attract people here? Mm-hmm. This is where we pay the most rent.
Sure.
This is where we make the most amount of money on the beer that we make. And so we started to make beer and put it, well, we had to put it in cans because we're...
Sorry to interrupt. You can probably just grab that mic and bring it close to you.
Okay, I'll just...
If you want to hold it.
No, I'll just sit forward. No, so, you're good. I was just getting all laid back.
Yeah, feel comfortable.
We had to start packaging everything, and then we started to realize, like, hey, we're packaging, like, we made casual, which was like, so casual was a beer that we kept changing. It was the same beer, but we kept messing with it until it became Fifth Street Hooligans.
Okay, which is that's what I'm drinking right now.
And yeah. It's,
what were the hops in that one again?
Oh yeah,
name the hops. So Calista, Sabro,
okay,
Citra,
okay.
Befuddlement.
That's the one we don't know what that is. Yeah. That's the mystery.
There's a different name. Yeah, there's a different name. It used to have all numbers. We named it Befuddlement, but they're making us change the name.
Mystery Hawk.
As soon as we run out of labels.
Oh.
So, but those that beer or that hop was made by Great Lakes Hops. And
okay.
Then we purchase it, I think, from Pure Mint Hops out of Coopersville. And so nice. we love the Dealman's. The Dealman Farm is dope. But
it's Primo, by the way. I'm drinking it right now, and it's awesome.
Can you taste the Befuddlement hops?
I think so. I can smell them.
Okay, good.
I think I can smell. Does it smell like peach? If that's what you smell, then that's what
smells like peach.
Yeah, that's what you get.
All right.
That sounds peachy and creamy, and just, it's awesome.
Brian is literally befuddled by it. Mm-hmm.
That's why we named it that.
Is it? It is now. Yeah.
I'm glad it's
that might be the name of this podcast episode.
If the beer was just called Befuddlement, I think you got a freaking home run.
Yeah. Just can you trademark that now?
We actually named a beer Befuddlement, and the reason why we called it was because that was the hops we used.
Yeah.
And it was like a peach bomb, and we're like, what in the world? And it was it was a perfect combination between that hop and then Quebec yeast, which was which is like a farmhouse yeast that doesn't taste farmhouse. It tastes like peaches.
Okay. Yeah.
And so
that Quebec yeast is like, it gives like a
Hornendahl
real
is
real
one
hazy,
specific.
Right?
Yeah.
Okay.
So Hornendahl is a specific strain of that yeast, but like Rob, our current brewer, he named it and he's like, I'm just so befuddled by this.
I love
it.
And
so he's like,
good name.
Befuddlement.
Yeah. Befuddlement. It's a great way. That's everyone's word of the day.
Yes.
Yeah. Befuddlement.
So it sounds like in January, you were saying you made that big pivot of going from like the standards. And this is something I'm bringing up because we always talk about it is like,
we do,
like
yeah.
Someone like Founders or something. Don't even know where I'm going. But yeah, we do always do. So like they have like the hits and that's all they have. They like maybe have like one rotating that's like quarterly and it's fine. You know, they have good beer. Like I get it, but it sounds like you made that pivot of like adventurous, like something that we love. Like we were saying, Third Nature is a place we bring up a lot because, and I think it's mostly because they're new, but every week there's a couple new beers you haven't tried before. That's what keeps me coming back to a place is like, I haven't tried this and it sounds pretty damn good.
Yeah.
So it sounds like you guys, is that like the goal or like the method behind that change in January?
And we decided like we need to find two or three mainstays. And so,
and then the rest is all, let's get creative.
Correct.
I think that's the perfect.
Now, are they going to be rotational or are they just always going to be new?
I'm not sure.
Okay.
So we're still letting that work. Like as it plays out, you'll know.
Okay.
like and me too.
Yeah. I feel like the rotational, it's like a rotational mainstay is almost like cheating. You know, like Oberon, I get you don't want to drink Oberon in the middle of winter. That's why they don't make it all year round. But like, so Founders has Mosaic Promise. That's my recent, you know, go-to beer. And it's great, but would it sell as well? Is it going to be as good if they release it all the time? Can you, I guess, not an experimental beer. I don't think you get points for being experimental because you have a seasonal beer. I don't know. Like, just a thought.
There's like, you know, I was saying like, there's like the scarcity play of it is like, yeah. Oh, you can only get it now. We got to get at least one of it. So like, at least
I see
like
that. I see that.
Marketing perspective. I feel like that's gotta be some of it. And maybe like the Arvon guys to not to keep bringing them up, but that's just like where my knowledge source is as of now. But like, they're saying like some ingredients you just can only get at certain times.
Yeah.
And
that's interesting.
It's true. You
know? So like, there's all these factors going on. Like, I'm not jealous of, I'm jealous of your job, but I was going to say, I'm not jealous of these decisions.
Every brand is just fodder for marketing.
Is what?
It's fodder. Like, it's just something that they can market. Right. So Mosaic Promise or what, you know, whatever beer.
Yeah.
Like, that's just something that we can put a post around and hopefully attract people to our tap room.
Yeah, for sure.
You need something. So it used to be seasonal. Now it's monthly.
Which I get what you're saying. I mean, because you have this variety everywhere and, you know, what's going to set you apart from the other place a little bit. And sometimes it's, well, these guys got that new sour. I'm a little sour boy, so I'm going to go get that new sour.
Absolutely.
Yeah, so I'm a sucker definitely for like social media posts of like new beer coming out. And I'm like, I got to go there. I got to try that new beer. Yeah. Like, I'm still waiting for
shorts. You're sending it to me and you're
FOMO,
like.
FOMO, fear of missing out.
Right? That's what it is. I got to be there. I'm still waiting for shorts to release their Big Bird Blood, because they made a post about it like a month ago, and I keep, whenever my fiance goes to the store, I'm like, hey, go down the aisle. do they have Big Bird Blood? If they do, get like all of it.
Wow.
It's like one of my favorite shorts beer ever. But
so just to backtrack a little, I think one last part of that question that I don't know if we I don't know if we got an answer, and if we did, I apologize, but like, you said you still think you can 4x the place or grow it by four. Or is it
not here? But I
So that's kind of my question.
Stay in GR.
Yeah, for sure.
Okay.
Yeah, good. Yeah, we don't.
Thank God.
We just want to find production space. So, like right now, we're hand tied by the fact that we can't grow anywhere here.
Okay.
In our current space.
Yeah.
And so it's.
You're brewing here. Everything is here.
Everything is here. Okay. And so we're having a hard time with cold storage. We'd like to add some tanks. Would you grab a can of Childish Obsession? Thank you. Please, yes. Yes, please. Thank you so much.
Cool.
You're the best.
We'll leave this.
You're the best.
Behind the scenes.
Yeah. And so, I think there's just opportunity. Mm. I'm not sure how we get from 1,000 barrels. To 4,000 barrels, but I think.
But you want to figure it out, right?
Well, I think that there's. Right now we're in the process of trying to find space, and so we're
looking. Does that lead to just one bigger space, or are you keeping this and maybe having two locations?
That's a point of contention because, like,
okay,
I promise you, I want to be like middle fingers up. I'm done here. I'm going somewhere else because it's way cheaper. Because it's
This view is this is badass.
Oh, it's fantastic. There's been construction every year since we opened. So some weeks they close the road both ways.
Okay. Ooh.
Like, it's like, I mean,
sweet.
People who live here are like, I couldn't get home and I know the way. Okay. So how are people finding City Belt? Thank you. And so, but I think there's an opportunity, and I think the way as things shake out, COVID wise,
thank you.
Breweries changing, moving, leaving, whatever, or grow, like, even like Founders is awesome, but they're not craft anymore because San Miguel, which, good for them, a bunch of people who started a small brewery are now wealthy.
Yeah.
And like, and that's what I'm trying to do, I promise. And if someone's listening, like, the answer is like, I'll entertain.
There you go.
All the offers.
And there's, like, no shame in that either. You know? I think that's great to have that goal. And, you know, that answers the question for me of like, yeah, it's let's blow this bitch up.
That's my plan. My plan is to get big.
Yeah, it's awesome.
That's
awesome.
Can we be Founders? I don't know. Like, I think that'd be dumb to think that's my goal. However, I think
If you make better beer, you sure as hell can.
I'm like, trying to be a really strong brand. And so then, like, how do I grow my brand and make, and so, and that's dependent on a bunch of things. And yeah, that's sure. How do we act in our community? Like as brewers, yeah, how do we act big. In our community as a Grand Rapidian person?
There we go. Is that a word? I love that word. I love that word.
All right. Grand Rapidian.
It is a word. And I right. love it.
How do I act in my community? Like we just started a run club. Like, are we supporting, or is that a thing to get people here? Or is that a thing that we can support a lifestyle for people and create an experience for people? Right. Like, we talked because Timmy's a mountain biker.
Yeah.
Right. And Timmy
should do a mountain bike team.
And so, yeah. So like I'm part of a group with him called Gristfits, which I've never been on the White Pine Trail until Sunday.
Oh, really?
Which is weird because I just told you this trail connects to White Pine. Like I've been on old because I live that way. So like I can ride my bike from my house because I'm pretty much right on Old Kent to here in 30 minutes.
Okay.
And I can drive here in 20. So like there's some, I need my vehicle, which is why I drive mostly. And then my kids go to school in the city. And so that's, I got to get them to school and all that. But I've never been on White Pine Trail and we rode from Cedar Springs, basically to here.
Okay. Wow. Did you hit the brewery there?
We stopped. So we stopped at, Cedar Springs.
They have the best Brussels sprouts in the entire fucking world.
I did not get the sprouts. Okay. I did get a Marzen one other beer.
Dunkelweizen.
And then
just fun to say.
It is. And then their food is dope.
It is good.
They do a good job. And then Rogue Tavern.
Yep. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Typically that's right next to old Speed Merchant.
Yeah. Yep. Yes. Mm-hmm. So we went there and then got back on the trail and went to Shots.
Okay. On the river?
Shots on the river.
Yeah.
Yeah. And right across the bridge.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then we went to Vitali's. I feel like I'm missing one place.
Okay.
Baby.
Did you hit Rockford Brewing or?
Typically, we would have. One of the guys Third that Nature. I was with does. Oh, Third Nature.
You hit
we
Third
went,
Nature.
Yeah. We went to Third Nature.
Nice. Awesome.
And so love those guys too. Love Rockford, but we didn't hit Rockford because we went to the Rogue Tavern instead so he could get
it's like right there.
Rum or whatever. Oh, well, whatever he got. Whatever he got that wasn't beer.
Yeah.
But like that's a great trail. We rode, was it 19 miles or something? Okay. Like that.
I love
that's a lot of beer in 19 miles.
It was good.
I love that it's just like
it's
never
more drinking than riding.
It's true.
That's the best kind of riding, Brad. Yeah. Maybe that's a good way to wrap this up because you know, as we did kind of like start, we said our Timmy, the friend of the podcast now.
Yeah. Yes.
We gotta have him on, it sounds like. You have these hobbies outside of breweries that we should probably talk about because you share our thesis,
so much.
Which is mountain biking. Do you snowboard at all?
Since I was 17.
There we go.
He rides.
Nice.
So, yeah.
Let's talk about that first, actually, because we always talk about mountain biking. If you guys are snowboards, like, we never get to talk snowboards.
Yeah, my Burton.
I saw that right away. I was like, that's dope.
Awesome. So, Zion, right? Do you want to grab a mic?
Heck yeah.
Yeah, welcome. Welcome, our new guest.
This is my 17-year-old son, Zion.
Big into snowboarding?
A little bit.
All right, I called you over because when we were your age, Brian and I were like best buds and we just lived on the hill. What's that look like for you? Do you ride around here? Are you a park rat? Are you just going out there carving some knuckles? What are you doing?
I mean, I'm really just going to Cannonsburg
that's fun week. Though.
It's kind of hard with swim because my coach hates when I go. I get like a 6-punch pass and then I have my friend take me whenever I can go.
Okay.
And then I like to stay on the hill more than the park.
Sure. That's okay. What kind of board we got?
It's a K2. That's really all I know about it.
Okay.
It was $200 with a helmet, boots, a bag.
All right.
And it's got hooked up. It's got so many scratches in it. I'm probably going to buy a new one.
Those are the best boards. Hey. I've got like four in my garage that I just have beat to hell, you know? But I did just get a new board.
He learned on a Burton, a kid's board.
Nice.
But it was a Darth Vader Star Wars Burton board.
You still have it?
Cool. Which
might go on a wall or something.
My daughter now rides.
Oh, hell yeah.
So she learned on that board.
That's cool.
Like a mini shredder.
It was a mini shredder. That's right.
Awesome. We're going to let you in on our little life hack here. Have you guys ever been to Caberfay?
Yeah. They've both ridden there.
That's the place to go. It's only an hour drive.
You can go to
cheap and free tickets.
Yeah,
all the time.
God, I hate to say this on the Liftopia's podcast, but
cheap.
It's worth
are you gonna No. Yes. Yeah, Liftopia's. That's what we're talking about. Liftopia. We're definitely not talking about still using our college IDs for college night. But
so Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, there's college night. So maybe enroll in some like extra credit, like
just get an ID.
All you need is an ID.
Nine bones and you're on the hill.
It's only
Monday,
$9
Wednesday,
for a whole
Friday night.
And now that we can work from home, I was telling my wife this plan the other day. I'm gonna set up my laptop in the lodge, just like leave it there, just do a couple runs, go in, make sure nothing's happening on Slack, don't gotta put out any fires at the job, and then just hang out at the hill. Do you think I can make that work? I'm gonna try it.
The answer is yes.
The
answer is no if you don't try it.
Yes.
So if you try it, the answer is yes.
I love it. So I think I could even be transparent about it too, because I've got a pretty cool work environment.
So, you got to taste that.
It's
so
great.
Yeah. So I poured
Holy
for you.
Holy shit.
I poured for you Childish Obsession. And this is one of the four beers in our Crown series that's a Run the Jewels based idea. So the song Crown in their second album, it has these lyrics into the murk, into the fray, into the haze. And then Childish Obsession. All those are lyrics in that song. And during COVID, I listened to them a lot. And then they released four. And then I listened to all four of those albums two times that day. And so,
whoa, this is good.
And so, yeah. So, Tangerine.
That inspired the art on the can?
And so, yep. Kyle DeGroff and Elliot Chaltry. Those are our can artists.
Wow.
They did the can art. Well, interesting you ask. And so they did the can art, and I asked for the faces that match the hands on each album, which is this.
Yeah.
Okay.
Right. Yep. And so when I got it back, it had the hands on there as well as the face. And I was like, and the art was a few days late because we were trying to have this release and yada, yada. We're always behind. We always work from behind. And so I was like, shit, we can't keep those hands on. I was like, we're legit stealing their IP.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. But I was like, it's late. We need to get these on. And so I was like, whatever.
People won't notice.
And we submitted it. So we submitted it, and then we had a media release.
Okay.
And then based on the media release, I have a friend in Atlanta, Ale Sharpton. He's a good dude. And I was like, I know you're connected to those guys. And so I tried to get him the media release and get him to give it to his buddy to give to them. Well, we got a message from them, and it was like, hey, appreciate the tribute. Honored. LP and Killer Mike are honored that you did this.
Dang.
We have just one issue
with
you stealing our IP. And I was like, oh, damn. And so,
I didn't notice that. What are you talking about?
I was like, is this real? Or is this someone trying to get free beer? And I'm still wondering if it's real or someone's trying to get, because we made boxes. I'll show you a picture of them, but we made boxes, and we took the hands. So I told them, hey, I'll never use the hands again, but the faces are all us. Like
you didn't make those bitches.
I would argue. That our hands and our faces look better than the album art. I think that's how good our artists are, and not to degrade or undermine their artists, but I think they took that and they made it next level. Okay. And so we got their attention. They're like, hey, you stole our stuff. We don't want to make a big deal out of it. Let's see if we can do something together. And so I just got an NDA from them. And so I'm pretty sure we're going to do a collaboration with Run the Jewels as it relates to the release of like a video game and a song that they did on which should be like November 19.
Dang. How cool is that?
So like what I was trying to do was get their attention, and then it worked.
Sometimes things just work. You just have to try it.
Hannibal,
right?
Like A-Team Hannibal Lecter. He's like, I love it when the plan comes together. So,
holy smokes.
And so I just sent four it's a four can series. Mm-hmm. So I just sent four cans to everyone in their team.
Okay.
And so, but they're all like, we took boxes, we spray painted them black.
Tight.
And we put the faces, each face is on four sides of the box.
That's and awesome.
When they opened the, like when I was talking to my printer, Middleton Printing, which is local, they're like, how about we like 3D print a box? That way it opens and like a light comes up.
What?
Like Pulp Fiction, right? Like the gold yes. comes up. Yeah. And I was like, yeah. And like, it was funny because it was like the dad and like his son's like, we're not doing that. We can't do that.
He's like, so, you know, yeah, like, no. And then maybe yeah. like it plays no, a song no. when it's not open. Yeah. And then
one of their songs.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was part of the plan.
Hell yeah.
So just to.
We didn't do that.
Because I might have missed this part of it. Is this out right now for people to try and get?
Yeah.
I'm buying some on our
website. What is it? It tastes like a sour, but.
So this is a tangerine. Dry tangerine vanilla sour with lactose and vanilla.
Yeah, it tastes like
melted push pot.
Yeah, it tastes like that. It has a reminiscent I want to say Tang, maybe, like the remember those
Sunny
commercials?
D.
Sunny D Tang taste. Like, do you remember those commercials with like the chimpanzee monkey? And it was like a orange sugar that you'd put in your drink called Tang.
I remember Tang. Yeah, okay. Oh yeah, I remember Tang. I don't remember that commercial.
You don't remember the orange? The
I remember
chimpanzee.
Tang for sure.
Okay, well, it's
I
like
grew
that,
up on
but
Tang.
But if it was good,
yeah,
because I don't know if you remember, it's not good when you get Tang. But
no,
well,
you must have been spoiled with some other stuff. That's all I had.
Yeah.
No, I don't know. Maybe. I'm just kidding.
Yeah, we were living the lavish luxury lifestyle where I had Tang upon Tang in the fridge.
Oh, funny.
But yeah, this is absolutely fantastic. So four other or three others, are they all similar sours or what are the other ones?
So we have three double dry hopped IPAs.
Okay.
Into the Merc, which is Nelson Sauvin and Idaho 7 hops. Into the Fray, which is all Galaxy hops, and Into the Haze, which is like Simcoe, Mosaic, Citra, and Amarillo.
Okay.
And then the Sour.
Great.
And so
like, I got to ask, is the Haze hazy?
They're
Into the Haze?
That what you're drinking?
That's it?
They all look, so basically they're all the same. So you have Into the Fray.
Oh, that's
but
this.
They're okay. All the same base.
Ah.
And then we just dry hops. Hopped them differently. Nice. Just because they're all so different based on the hop content, hop profile.
It's a great series.
So
they all taste like
between,
these two.
It's so freaking cool. Between the Crown series and then the Fibonacci sequence, like that's been like our big kind of like coming out this past year.
That's great. So I was just gonna bring us home a little bit. What do you have?
I was gonna say I would never have imagined that City Bell, you know, like last year would have made a can that looked like this.
How groovy it
and
is.
A beer like that. It's so awesome. I really think you guys are going in a phenomenal direction.
We'll take a picture of that before
super
we
super excited
too. So the last thing that at least I have before we started, you mentioned new beer coming out tomorrow. Yes. If you're listening to this Friday,
Saturday.
It's coming out Saturday. Yep. So tomorrow, tell me a little about it.
So we released the Fibonacci sequence. We started a 3 hour and 5 hour. Right around the time that like COVID hit and everything shut down, we released 5 hour. 5 hour was all coconut and vanilla, 3 hours of non-adjunct, just a imperial stout. And so the next in the series was supposed to be 13 hour.
Okay.
But the reality of all that was one, there's so much unsettled and unknown.
Okay.
And so we actually brewed 13 hour in April. We just hung on to it for a while, then finally adjuncted it with peanut butter, vanilla, and graham cracker.
Ooh.
And then we were given, so they gave us shit because they're like, well, the Fibonacci sequence is actually not 3, 5, 13, and 21. It's 3, 5, 8, 13. Oh, yeah. So we added 8.
Okay.
We brewed 8 at the end of July, and that is Oreo.
Okay.
And so it's Oreo, white chocolate, and vanilla.
Oh my God.
So it's actually not Oreos, but the vanilla wafers. I had some today out of the Bright Tank because we're going to package it Friday for Saturday.
Okay.
And
it's pretty primo.
And it's so good. I'm super stoked. And so But yeah, those two beers, they're the next in the line in the sequence. And then we have this last beer, the 21 hour. And so essentially these beers, the hours are relative to how long we boiled them.
Okay. So I was going to ask what's going on with that.
We boiled 3 hour for 3 hours. We actually boiled 5 hour for 6 hours.
No one tell anybody.
13 hours for 13 hours. That was a long friggin' day. And then 21 hours will boil for 21 hours. And so, and then 8 hours obviously was 8 hours. And so, okay. And the whole premise of all of it was just to like what happens when you boil beer for this long? How many times do you have to mash in to actually get the yield that you want? You know, like we're hoping for 380 to 400 gallons of wort
that okay.
we can, right, then adjunct and do all the things we want to do to it. And so, like, how does that work? And,
okay.
And so,
do you have a hypothesis of what's going to happen?
So
are you hopeful or are you scared?
So we gave it to our artist, and our artist came back with, because the original idea was 3, 6, 12, and 24. So he came back and he's like, yeah, I've got this whole numerology thing in my head. And like, there's this thing called, and I forget what he said, but he kept saying numerology, not Fibonacci. Okay. And as I was reading it out loud to our taproom manager, Kurt, he's like, that's a Fibonacci sequence. And I was like, what? So we Googled it. And then we YouTubed it. And
what is the Fibonacci sequence?
And so it's like the thumbprint of God. And okay. it's this order that you see play out in nature all the time.
Yes. Ooh,
and so okay. like
I want to speak on it just quickly.
Please, yeah,
you've
yeah.
talked to me about it before.
I have, and I'm fascinated by it. And from like a photography and videography, like when you frame a shot, for instance, if you can imagine like look at your phone screen maybe and divide it with like two lines center splitting and then two lines center splitting horizontally. And you look in the corner and if you frame your subject there, that follows like a spiral that leads to it using the same math that we were just talking about, the Fibonacci sequence. It's also called the golden ratio.
Correct. And so the way the sequence,
my mind's in a pretzel right now.
The sequence is 1, 1, 2, 3, 5, 8, 13, 21, and I think 36. And so basically you take the two numbers before to come up with the next number. So 1 and 1 make 2, yeah. 2 and 1 make 3, 3 and 1, or 3 and 2 make 5, 5 and 3 make 8, 8 okay. and 5 make 13. And so the two previous numbers. So, but it's infinite, okay. right? And so it doesn't stop. Okay. And so the Milky Way.
Is that this?
Yeah. It's that spirals out. Gravity. So the term spiraling out is a reference to the Fibonacci sequence. And so when you look at the can art, you'll kind of get the sense.
I'm excited to see what it looks like.
Spiraling out, which you can already see it. So if you look up 3 and 5, you'll see it. Yeah. You'll see those two cans kind of had the start of this hand, like uh-huh. the hand of God making the universe. And then it starts to go on. And so, but once we get to 21 hour, we're going to barrel age all of 21 hour. And then we're actually going to double batch it. And then we're going to take,
natural hour.
So, yeah, that's cool.
It's so natural hour. Yeah. I'm throwing everyone off.
So we're going to take 21 hour. We're double batch it, barrel age it all. And then we're going to split it into each adjunct. So you'll see the 5 hour barrel aged version of 21 hour, the 8 hour, the 13 hour, and then there'll be a 21 hour as well. And then we're going to call it the Holy Gift.
So all of them coming out? No, just one is coming out now.
So on Saturday, we have 5 cases of 5 hour left.
Okay.
So we're going to release those and we'll allow 4 pack at a time for each person. And then there's unlimited, not unlimited, but. You can buy it all. I promise. I'll
unlimited
be
if you so,
yeah.
You can buy all you want.
That's right. 8 hour and 13 hour. So okay. 5 hours is basically like a Samoa cookie. Mm-hmm. 8 hours is like an Oreo cookie. And then 13 hours like peanut butter slapped to your face.
I love the idea. Is it just like totally?
I think that's awesome.
Like brand new. Like I've never heard an idea like this.
I'm sure other breweries are boiling their beer for a long time.
Uh-huh. But like not the Fibonacci.
But not, sure. yeah, no, yeah. like that was a mistake. And like our artist kind of like every time we get art with, I love working with him because every time we get art from him, he tells us why it's not a good idea. And like, he's like, here's where I was at. And I know it's not that great, but here's what it is. And like, this is what I was thinking.
Okay.
And so as he explained the art for the Fibonacci beers, it wasn't called Fibonacci beers. Like until we read that email and we're like, oh dude, this is the Fibonacci sequence. Like, yeah. So he completely wrote the marketing and he didn't intend to. And so, but yeah. And so, and we're already talking. We're already talking about like, I can do that with my GoPro and it's dope. Anyway. Yeah. So, we're already talking about what we're going to do next year. And so like, I wanted to do a beer series called 12 Words of Hope. But my brewer's like, there's no way we're releasing one new beer every month. So I was like, fine.
Dream big. Hey, come on.
4 words of hope. And so every quarter we're going to release a beer.
I like that. I like that.
And so, and like, and I think especially after 2020, like everyone's looking for something.
Yeah.
Okay. Like words of hope, words of positivity.
It's beautiful.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So
I know I am.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know. I'm losing it.
Yeah.
Like this has been literally probably, I don't think I've like left the house in 2 weeks. So like just being here recording at City Built has been, this has been a blast already. Just like being out of the house. I'm like, oh wait, talking to people in person. How does that work? I forgot. Like,
I work in the office every day. Like, remotely, so good for you, Larry.
Yeah. I guess you're used to it, but yeah.
No, I understand what you're saying.
Uh-huh. All right. Sorry, guys. Any last words? No, you're good. You're good.
Yeah, I do. To bring us home? Edwin, are you a member of the Fifth Street Hall?
I absolutely am a member of the Fifth Street Hall.
Awesome. I am not, but I did go out for Pulaski Days this
last year.
Yeah.
They're skipping it this year, which I think is crap.
Opened my eyes to a whole bunch of shit, and it's awesome. It is awesome. So I'm like super Polish, so I need to be a member soon to one of them.
The Fifth Street Hall is the best hall.
That's what I've been told.
In my humble opinion. Well, it's a very young hall.
Okay.
And so for that reason, I think it's dope. But also, I play ping pong there.
There we go.
And,
okay. And so are you a ping pong player?
I'm a ping pong small G-O-D.
Really? Do you have a table here?
No.
Oh, you're lucky.
No. Oh, no, I'm not lucky. I wish we had a table here. That would be sweet. I would love to play Larry, and talk crap the whole time.
Larry and I think in the beginnings of our friendship, we used to drink, him and I would just drink beer and play ping pong for like hours in his parents' basement. Like, and we'd like, his parents like, what are you guys doing down there? And we're like, not drinking, but playing a lot of ping pong.
That's right. We're playing ping pong.
Yeah, I love 21 though.
We were 21 though, yes.
So if I have to talk about Jeff Jacoby. So are you familiar?
Jeff Jacoby from
he's a bike guy. And so every year he does all these bike events.
Okay.
And so on January January 1st, he does Hair of the Dog Ride.
Okay.
And it's like 100 bike people. And we come and we have like socks and like warm clothes. And then we go to one of the shelters. And
okay.
Like we hook up the shelter. And then it's like an alley bike ride through all of West Michigan, like all of downtown.
It's no kidding.
It's one of the best rides I've ever done. And we stopped in a cul-de-sac. And I was like, whose land is this? He's like, oh, no, this is public road. And they completely tore it down. Not tore it down, but shut it down.
Yeah.
And had beer and food and like hot chocolate
and what is this ride called?
The Hair of the Dog.
And this occurs
January 1st.
Okay, is it happening this year?
And well, I'm hoping on January 1st it happens. I did my first one this past year with Timmy and Brian, a couple friends, and
awesome.
And so it was literally like we talked about it this Sunday as we rode down the White Pine. And we're like, can't wait for that ride. It's cold.
I was gonna say.
Oh yeah, it probably sucks ass.
Fat lights only, or
I did not. There's a couple people who are like pretty daring, and there is a couple moments that you're going downhill in an alley, taking a sharp right, and it's like ice. And there's people just going shoot.
You're just like, well,
oh yeah, but people are all smiles. He takes you to different bars around town. We ended up here last year, and then our plan is to be more like supporting it more this year. Like
that's awesome.
I want it to be all City Built Beer. So
hell yeah. Is this a Facebook event that people can access?
Or I bet if you looked up Hair of the Dog Ride, you would find it.
That sounds super fun.
So specifically on Facebook.
Yeah, I think that sounds fun. So. I guess to dab a little bit in biking. Edwin, I know you love mountain biking. Where do you ride and what kind of rig are you riding?
I have a Sunday I rode an old Gary Fisher.
Okay.
An old
have 20, you ever met Gary Fisher?
No, but he's
a maniac.
Pretty epic, yeah.
That's crazy.
Yeah, I think he may have been epic. If anyone's I don't want to talk shit about Gary Fisher, but I don't know. I think they needed better helmets back then. We'll just leave it at that.
I don't want to upset
anybody.
All those guys have their own metronome. Like his just ticks different than ours.
Yeah, he's just like,
didn't he call like, don't be riding like a bunch of like.
Oh, yeah. I asked. It was my first Iceman.
We met him. Homosexuals.
And I was like, hey.
They're out there riding like a bunch of, but it was awesome. Like something like that. So it's like classic old dude, like not understanding like what the times are.
Yeah, that's old dude stuff that like you super can't say now. And like, how you fucking better not believe that shit now. But like, that's what he told us all. That was before my first Iceman. And I was like, all right. Before his mustache poked me in the eye. Comes out.
So you met him.
Yeah, we met him. We met him at Iceman.
At like an Iceman event. So yes. Like, yeah.
That's awesome. This
guy's nuts. But anyway,
so I ride a Gary Fisher and then I ride Kona Hanzo.
Nice.
So I got the birthday bike.
Awesome.
So
what kind of Kona Hanzo are you rocking?
What kind of Hanzo is it? The big Hanzo, the regular Hanzo?
It's the birthday bike, and so it's a 29er.
Okay.
I have a 29 plus wheel on there. Or it's not a plus wheel. It's just a 29.
Okay.
I got it from Central District.
Nate?
Yeah.
Nate's the man.
Friend of the podcast.
That's
one of my
I haven't seen Nate in a while. I miss Nate. I miss you, Nate.
Nate, come get some beer at City
Belt. Zion, you out there riding? Not anymore. All right.
Zion used to ride a Rocky Mountain Soul, and it got stolen right outside of the front of City Belt.
Mother effers.
And the other day, I actually saw a guy, and I was like, is that the guy?
Body tackle.
I was in my vehicle, and I thought, I'm getting in front of that guy. And then I realized, are those, because like you put yellow pedals in it. Yeah. It was a sweet bike.
I bet it was rad.
It was a good.
It was sweet.
It was a good bike, and I'm not sure if that guy had yellow pedals, but. If I saw that bike in the wild, I would recognize it.
Yeah, they're online only, right? So like they're
Rocky Mountain.
Yeah.
Oh really? I got that bike from Central District. Okay,
I'm pretty sure they're. I was gonna say.
I'm thinking of Canyon. I think
Canyon's online only. Okay. Yeah.
Rocky Mountain Canyon is not the same.
It's.
Whatever.
I don't know. One goes up, one goes down.
It's right.
Anyways, they're literally opposite. All
right.
But yeah, so you're riding that. You're riding.
The Kona. Yeah.
I almost bought a Hanzo. Instead of I have a Scottsdale, and I almost bought a Hanzo, and I actually talked to Nate about it for like an hour, and he's like, "Dude, you should buy this bike," and I was like, "Yeah, I should." And then for some reason, I ended up going to Speed Merchants, and they sold me this. I think it was Carbon is what got me. And I was like,
"Oh, sweet!"
Carbon. And George got me a badass deal on it, which is cool. But I think my riding right now is kind of gravitating towards the more jumpy, fun stuff. So,
right on.
We'll see what happens here in the future.
I'm too old to get off the ground. So
I'm good.
I mean, I do sometimes, but like
not very high. I mean, I'm not talking like crazy high. Brian Zajac, friend of the podcast, keeps trying to get me to go out to the Canonsburg Skill area. And Brian, if you're listening, I did tell you yesterday that I would go out with you next week. I will honor that. And Larry just said that he's real.
I'm coming for like video and photos. Cool.
All right, deal. Yeah. We'll do a Canonsburg Skills area. Laughing.
Yeah, exactly. Not to be embarrassed because they're way faster than me. And I love mountain biking, but these guys are too fast. So. Yeah.
But Edwin, bringing it back to
we
you.
We should ride together.
That's what I'm talking about. Let's do it. Yeah, whenever you want.
Where do you usually ride, Edwin?
Luton a lot. Yeah. So I've been I'm part of a Latinx group of men who are now like like it's called Latinx Outdoors.
Okay.
And so that's awesome. One of the things that they started to do is their mountain bike.
And you're all mountain bikers?
And so, well, awesome. It's funny to show up and like, I've been riding a long time and have these guys show up on not my, like they're mountain bikes.
Right. Not mountain bikes. Right, right. Huffy's so, from 1985. And
but they're learning. What it's really cool, actually. A, that you're so willing to put yourself out there to go do a thing that you don't
Yeah.
On a trail like Luton, it's which can beat you up there, yeah. And it'll for sure beat your bike up if you don't have the right bike. So, yeah. But I've done that a couple times recently. But, man, just rode Dragon. Actually, the last time I rode, Dragon.
Dragon's okay. Fun.
I've not been there yet.
Sweet. I've only been there once, but it was a blast.
It's I rode 9 miles, you might be in, and right. I felt like anyway. 9 miles on the Dragon felt better and easier than riding
that's
5 miles on
Luton. Luton and Merrill, like,
kick your
they're
butt.
They're fun. They're great, but they kick your ass. But, like, you do the same amount of climbing. Yep. So it's not like a climbing thing. It's just like the way it's built. You can do.
It's so flowy.
You go there and back, yeah. And just feel perfect. Eat both directions.
Yeah.
It's awesome.
That's a little weird, which I know is common out west, but like, trail both ways. Mm-hmm. But I was like, that's kind of weird, but I never talked to more people on the trail than I did when I was on Dragon.
Nice.
Really?
Yeah.
Because you kept running into people going the other way.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
like, how cool is this? Hey, awesome. Well, like if you're, I don't know if it's better, like, proper. Is it? Oh yeah, I think there is. Is it more proper for me to allow you to continue to come uphill?
Mm.
Or is it more proper for you to get out of the way and let me enjoy the downhill?
I think the climber downhill. Has to yield to downhill.
100%, yeah.
So the climber should yield to the downhill. Because well, I didn't know
I don't
that.
Know if that's – I don't know. That's
right.
That's just what I think.
As soon as you do that, someone's like, no, it's the other way around. And they're right. Like,
we're going to get Instagram DMs. Yeah. Like, Larry's a fucker.
The same, well, it's the same argument of, like, should the runner go with you or against traffic? Mm. And there's, like – I have a strong opinion against a certain thing, but people have strong opinions against the other way. Like, yeah. I think – you got to go the opposite direction. But I don't know, like an avid trail runner who knows like they're fast. And a lot of those guys are like faster than me up the hills. And I'm like, well, you should be going with traffic then. So I don't know.
Right.
I don't know. There's no right answer because even if there's like something written down, there's going to be all the dudes who are just like, well, actually, and then just tear into it.
Yeah. For sure. No,
it's like vividly investigating this beer, which is great, by the way.
I'm amazed.
Guys, I don't know. I don't want to take up too much more of your time.
Yeah.
I know Zion's like, dude, Zion's I gotta like, get home and play Xbox. This is-
oh, no, he doesn't.
Hey, good okay. For you, man. That's great.
Nice. He's got school in the morning.
All right.
Online school, so it's barely school. I'm guaranteed.
When I first started working from home during this, that Xbox was calling Rocket League was calling my name in between meetings. So
my first like few checks went to buying
Xbox. I bet. In case you couldn't hear that on the audio, Zion was saying so you know, right away he's like, "Yeah, I need an Xbox for this."
Zion was making like $35 an hour during COVID.
No.
Whoa.
It was like 20 to 25. It was one day I made 30. It's not small, but
doing what?
It's not like you hid that money somewhere. Working. He's like, I didn't make that much money.
Oh, here.
I mean, $0 an hour. Okay.
Hell yeah.
Good.
So he was basically
that's
he was
good
volunteering.
For the community. Yeah. I'm glad hearing that the community came through for
that's
that.
Awesome.
We went from 48 people down to 5. And so on any given time, there were days where it was me, you, and then one kitchen person.
Wow.
And so it was either our sous chef, Greg,
dang.
Or our then chef, Elizabeth. But
would you guys say you're out of the woods finally, or is it still a little bit of the
I would
you've
suggest,
adapted officially?
I would suggest we're in the woods. Completely. However, oh, like, okay. But like
just
that,
as bad,
but
yeah.
I'm not like I'm hopeful, right?
Okay,
like,
good.
We're in the. Are you guys in that like that nice wood section at Luton where like this trail is right down?
Where I feel
there.
Like I'm in.
Everything's beautiful right by you.
Like on black.
Yeah,
you're
yeah,
going
yeah.
Through the trees,
yeah,
and you
yeah.
Feel like you're in Empire Strikes Back.
Is it? Yeah, right. Yeah.
The main
yes.
Spot.
Yeah, through the trees. So, no.
Okay.
But no, but like, I'm afraid to say like, no, we got this. And then be like, we're on the like. I feel like we're on the cusp.
Okay.
Just like every other brewery,
uh-huh.
And that said, like, go support your local favorite brewery, because every little bit counts. Like not just City Built. Like, mm-hmm. There's 40 breweries in Grand Rapids.
Wow.
Like, we all need someone to show up and buy a beer, especially when it gets cold, because right now.
That's when I drink more beer. Well, I drink beer all the time.
We have a great, well, we have a great city, and the city, DGRI, specifically a guy named Andy Guy, came and like helped us make the outdoor area work.
Oh, good.
And not just work, but like, I mean, we have like 20 seats, like 20 tables outside.
This is all new. I have not seen this.
And like Grand Rapids allowed us, I mean, you can take a cup of beer, walk casually and jaywalk across the street to our seating across the street. Which,
oh, you have seating across the street.
Yeah. And so, whoa, which we have a social zone across the street. And so that's what that is over there. Yeah.
We're coming back. Let's come here on Saturday.
So like if you ask to play bags, they'll give you bags so you can play bags out there. Wow. We did have life-size Jenga, but but yeah, so but
they became a life and they walked away.
So
yeah,
here all night. But
like you're about to be a dad. That was a good dad joke.
Yeah, thank you.
Are you really? Congratulations.
Little baby girl on the way.
All right. First.
First child, yeah.
Change, absolutely change terrifying. Everything. Yeah, go.
Thanks. Yeah, I've heard.
In a good way.
Yeah.
So I don't regret anything.
Sure about that?
Not at all. No, I don't regret anything. Yeah. I'm super happy. Yeah, when you're not here, I'm beating them up.
Yeah. Zion, you said you turned your Xbox off for school. So it's not like you take school pretty seriously.
No.
Oh, all right. Yeah. No, I was going to be like, well, do you have any like big after school plans you want
to? Oh yeah. I'm going to go to CC for the job training course in welding.
Okay.
And that's like 18 to 22 weeks. And then I'll have a salary. Before I'm 19.
All right.
So, well,
I'm here with the plan. Hell
yeah.
Have you ever heard of plumber versus doctor? Have you ever heard of that study?
No.
And so it's the study of a plumber's income versus a doctor's income.
Yeah.
And a plumber makes more money than a doctor over his lifetime. Mm. And that's what he's banking on.
I think higher education, unless you are being someone like a doctor or lawyer, it's just gone now. You know, I learned so much in school. Great. Like I went to school, like all artsy, like video production and that stuff. But then, I got a job at like a marketing agency where I just had to adapt to that.
Yeah.
And then I became like, a pretty good marketer. But I learned that on the job or through like educational videos online. And like, that's how I gained. Like now I'm like at a different company where like I'm head of marketing. And it's just like, I learned that not from school at all. So I almost be like, why did I even go to college? Yeah, you know,
I totally
that got me in the door. Sure. But as far as just like real life education, like that's just the way it's going from now on.
I totally get what you're saying. I think there's going to be a big like reform in college soon. I am biased. So I run a small autism center. I'm BCBA. You have to have a master's for that. So,
that like how said, Brian and I just had to like brag about our accomplishments.
Well, what I'm saying is,
we both did.
Cool. Like, I by no means make a shit ton of money at all. But I do. I love my job and I love my kids. And to get there, I could not have been like did that with that. You know, with college.
That's a great example of why you do need school still. Yeah.
Right. But I don't. I think there's very few people that go to college for that reason. I mean, people think you have to go to college to make money, there's and that's an entirely like a not true. Entirely too, not though. True.
Like I wish I would have went to like
you can just have friends that go to
community college go to and then like live it. There.
So yeah, exactly. Still, like, just live there. People,
but like went to the community college so I didn't have to pay.
You do not need to go to college. Yeah. You'll figure. I think living in Grand Rapids is 1,000 times more eye-opening than living in fucking Mount Pleasant for 7 years. So.
Guys, how do you feel?
I feel wonderful. How do you feel, Larry?
I just feel bad. I want to.
I know. No, I think we need to wrap it up.
I know. We're officially off.
You're like, and that was the podcast that would never last, like never end.
First of all, thank you guys so much. Good time, and it was so great meeting both of you guys. Zion, thanks for hopping in here.
Yeah, thank you.
This is great. Any last words, guys?
No, I just want to say thank you guys so much.
I just want to coin the word, Puerto Rican.
I think we have three. We have Puerto Rican, Grand Rapidian, and
what was the hops? I already forgot.
The hops.
The beer.
Befuddlement.
Befuddlement. Befuddlement.
Those are your three
Grand
Rapidian.
Yeah. Puerto Rican.
I guess it's more like five words. But all
right, yeah. Our call to action is
let's support our local breweries, right?
Support local breweries.
No one's out of the woods yet.
No one's out of the woods.
We are, but it's the sad truth is we're just barely a step ahead of where we were in March, unfortunately.
Yeah. But there are awesome
Let's
people.
Let's land on a bleak note.
No, there are awesome people in this world, and go check them out. And there's a lot of them at City Built.
All right. Yeah. And check out that new beer coming out tomorrow.
Giddy up.
And also drink all the beer in the cool ass cans from
honestly, as hype I am for that new Fibonacci beer we were talking about, I got to recommend, I forgot the name already.
Childish Obsession.
It's unreal. So good, you guys. You got to try this.
The first hazy was awesome too. Like, holy shit.
And
go to City Built because they're awesome.
Go to City Built. And another shameless plug, localroots.us. Thanks again for everyone who bought merch. And if you want more, you know what? We'll say this later, but we're going to do a giveaway. So look at that on the Instagram. We're going to give away some merch. So
we're giving away a sticker, right?
One sticker. Yeah. Everybody's going to have to.
We're totally kidding.
Okay. Yeah. It'll be something.
But we are giving away something.
Yeah. With some hoodies and stuff. So, all right. Thanks again.
Thank you so much. Yeah.
Thank you so much.
Bye, guys. Catch it.